Blog Talk Radio.
6 Degrees is another fine show brought to you by Law of Attraction Radio Network. It has been discovered that we are all connected by just 6 degrees of separation. Somehow, some way, we just need to open up the dialogue to see where our connections lie. Welcome to the 6 Degrees Show with your host, Anthony Bryce.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good night. This is Anthony Bryce, the host of 6 Degrees. 6 Degrees is about connecting, and we are all connected. Somehow, some way, through dialogue, the essential connections are revealed. And today, for the first time on 6 Degrees, we have Dr. Richard Boylan. Dr. Richard Boylan is a PhD behavioral scientist, anthropologist, university associate professor emeritus, certified clinical hypnotherapist, consultant, and researcher. Boy, that's a mouthful. He provides hypnotherapy for recalling full details of partially remembered close encounters with the star visitors stored in subconscious memory. Dr. Boylan also is a consultant to star kids and star seeds, seeking to understand better their origin, identity, and mission so they can achieve full awareness of and clarity about their identity, inner growth, spiritual development, and future path. His career has spanned 4 decades of service as a psychologist, social worker, hypnotherapist, clergyman, educator, and space anthropologist. Dr. Boylan has served as a lecturer at California State University, Sacramento, University of California, Davis, National University, Chapman University, and Sierra College World. This is Dr. Richard Boylan. Dr. Richard Boylan, this is the world on 6 Degrees. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you very much, Anthony. Nice to talk.
And it's absolutely my pleasure and honor to be of service to you, who has been in service to the world for over 40 years. Dr. Boylan, for the listeners, if you would point them to your website so they can dig a little deeper into your rabbit hole as we continue our dialogue.
Okay, it's easy enough. www.drboylan.com.
That is drboylan.com.
Yep, that's it.
Thank you.
And if you read that from one end to the other, you'll know more about these UFO subjects than most presidents have.
That's a good thing. Well, Dr. Boylan, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you, a behavioral scientist and hypnotherapist, got involved with UFOs and star visitors.
Well, I worked for many years as a psychotherapist and counseling psychologist, and in 1989, people started coming in with something they'd never heard before, and it taught us in graduate school, and that was about encounters with people from the stars. This perked up my interest, so I eventually put out a little notice in the paper that I would welcome people with those experiences to come in. They would have a friendly ear to share their experiences with and confidence. And people started coming in. Over the years, I bet you I've worked with over 1,000 such folks, probably more. And as a result, I noticed a few other things. Many of these experiencers went on to have kids, and I noticed that their kids were more advanced and different than the regular kids of previous time. They tend to be brighter, more cosmic minded, they tend to grow up faster, they tended to have double handfuls of psychic abilities. They were really, in many ways, a puzzle to their parents because they didn't fit the what the parent guidance books say you should expect about your kid. They were way ahead of that. So this led me to some further research, and I deduced that these were star kids, and that the accounts I had heard about these people being visited by the star visitors, and in some cases some reproductive material borrowed and tinkered with and then put back in, that these kids were the result of some genetic upgrading of their parents' reproductive material, that we were seeing a new species, if you will, or at least a hybrid of the old USDA regular human, what I call human 3.0. And so because the star visitors were involved in this process, I call them star kids. And of course, when they grow up over 18, you can't call them a kid anymore, so we have to call those starseed adults. And the starseed adults, the star kids, and the experiences of close encounters with the visitors are my main focus in my work in this field.
Well, that seems to be a trend that I've noticed, that your star visitors really kind of emulate the race of man, so to speak. You know, we have so many different races. We have Chinese, we have Caucasian, you know, what are the various kinds of star visitors that have seeded our planet over the years?
Well, you know, they tell us that we should talk about ethnic groups on Earth, that there's only one race, the human race. And when you see the cosmos from their perspective, you realize that we are all humans. And when you stand face to face with a Zeta Reticulan, those folks with the large heads and the watermelon seed kind of shaped eyes, the large dark eyes that slope outward and upward in the eye socket, or individual that looks like a cross between a praying mantis and a human, or between a reptilian and a human, or some other kind of folks, you realize, well, compared to the stark striking differences between those folks and humans, the variations on Earth between different skull shapes and skin colors are really minor details. And they say, you know, you humans should talk about maybe ethnic varieties within the human race, but don't talk about various races, because if you get down to races, you know, you're humans, we have the Zeta race, the reptoid race, the Ethican, praying mantis race, if you will, etc., etc. So that helps put things in a different kind of perspective than we tend to work or walk around on Earth with.
So what I gather that you're saying, Dr. Boylan, is that we are really just one human race of humans being the best humans that we can. However, we have government on our planet, and it seems as if I'm noticing that you have the star visitors also have a Star Nations Council. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yes. Certainly I can, and even personalize it a little bit. Star Nations have revealed that they have an organization that stretches across the galaxy. It's an organization of all the civilizations that have reached a high degree of development, both technologically, being able to get off their planet and out into space, and spiritually and morally behaving themselves in ways that are more oriented to service and reverence for life and for planets as living conscious organisms and solar systems, and indeed the cosmos as a super organism. So these are folks at a high degree of consciousness. And they are aware that, of course, across the cosmos, different planets that can support life are at different levels of evolutionary development, and that some are at the same level as Earth or even more primitive, more warlike, less civilized than even humans are. So they created this council, this Star Nations organization that would represent all the planets, the civilizations of the planets that have reached a high degree of spiritual moral development. And they form a kind of United Nations and operate in a way where they make sure that any of the primitive races in the galaxy don't get out into space and prey on helpless civilizations that are at an early stage of development and can't defend themselves. So one of the roles Star Nations plays is sort of galactic cop, you know, keeping law and order and preventing any rogue renegade outfits or individuals from predating on vulnerable planets. On another level, they exchange information and work cooperatively to share understandings of things like what God is, or share philosophies and understandings about spiritual development, as a result of which they have come up over the millions of years with 11 universal laws and 11 spiritual laws, which they consider their kind of guidance principles, what I call colloquially the Ten Commandments of the universe, except they're not in that thou shalt not language we have on Earth. They're really more philosophical principles from which they assume you're smart enough to draw your own conclusions for personal guidance. It's a little bit like the kind of pure forms of Buddhism with the Eightfold Way principles. In fact, of course, the Buddha was one of the great teachers that our nation sent down and took human form, along with others that we are pleased to think about as some of our great religious teachers. Jesus, Muhammad, the original, not the distorted version you see on your television sets at night. White Buffalo Cap Woman, Quinyan, Viracocha, and a number of other individuals that Zoroaster, so forth. These folks have been a gift from Star Nations to help Earth reach more quickly a higher level of moral and spiritual development than it might if it was just left to its own devices. Star Nations has been around long enough to watch many civilizations on many planets crash and burn because they got too big for their britches. And, you know, we're not the only planet that reached about this awkward stage of technological development where our technology is in advance of our general moral development. And we have done such things as use knowledge of nuclear power to incinerate whole cities, or other use biological warfare to kill whole populations. We've caught that in time and stopped that madness for the most part, but we're still at that kind of teeter-totter stage. But there are whole civilizations that completely incinerated or killed off their planet with such stupidity, and they don't want to see that happen to Earth. I guess their theory is sort of a planet is a terrible thing to waste.
You know, that's you know, we speak lightly of this, and we are in critical times here on planet Earth, Dr. Boylan, and, you know, this all seems like something straight out of Star Trek or Star Wars or, you know, Men in Black. However, this is real, Dr. Boylan. This is just as real as this interview of you and I sitting on opposite ends of the United States, staring each other in the eyes and having a wonderful, wonderful conversation, something that would, when I was a young boy, just seemed as if it was on the Jetsons. And here we are doing it in reality. But I don't want to deviate too much. That, you know, the Star Nation that you speak of, and the order that mankind has, and our world is in peril. So it seems to me, Dr. Boylan, that if we have this Star Nation that's oversight of us, that's overseeing us, that there's got to be some sort of interjection before we do kill extinguish ourselves, exterminate ourselves. Do you have any comments on this?
You bet, Anthony. It is, as you suggest, no coincidence that while star visitors have come down and interacted with humans ever since 375,000 years ago when they bioengineered us from earlier primate stock, there have been pauses in between these visits. But in recent times in our history, the first real wave of contact started right after we dropped atomic bombs at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They figured, whoa, this planet has reached the awkward adolescent stage. It's either going to make or break. And the early messages that they gave humans when they made contacts in the 50s, late 40s and 50s with government officials and with regular humans, the message of peace was very high in what their messages were. They basically had two primary messages at first. You know, first of all, we're coming here to let you know you're not alone in the universe. We're friendly folks. We want to send greetings and hope you'll get used to the idea that, you know, we're out there too. You're not alone. The other message is you must stop killing each other and using these terrible weapons of mass destruction. And so the peace as well as the cosmic family were the two big messages that they wanted to underline when they did meet with folks.
Dr. Boylan, I would, if you would, let's refocus for a second back to the purpose of the Star Seeds and the Star Kids. We've heard you talk about the Star Kids and adult Star Seeds resulting from the Star Visitor contact with Earth. Really, what is the purpose? What is this phenomenon all about?
Well, let's put it in a historical perspective. First of all, humans did not smoothly evolve with no outside intervention from apes or any other target predecessor that anthropologists and archaeologists blithely assume is the case. Yes, there has been evolution of primates on Earth since life began and developed, but those earlier upright anthropoid primates like Lucy that the archaeologists talk about were not at all our ancestors and our relatives. We are entirely different. There was about 275,000 years ago, 300,000, give or take, archaeologists differ. Homo sapiens appeared on the seen on Earth without any predecessor. They talk, the archaeologists do, about a missing link. Well, the reason the link is missing is there is no link to earlier evolution. There's a discontinuity. The star visitors, the Zeta folks to be specific, came down and took some human primate genetic material and gene spliced a bit of their own genes in for purposes of increasing intelligence and dexterity in the recipe. And then that reproductive hybridized material was allowed to form into Homo sapiens, and the early man spread across the earth and reached a certain level of development in terms of being able to fashion tools and intricate designs and showing some sign of spiritual awareness, things like burial practices suggesting that the spirit of a deceased person was going to endure after the body died. But along with this level of development, there were problems. Too much of the animality of the original primate still showed through in things like violence and territoriality and aggression. And so the star visitors came back about 130,000 years ago and decided to refine the recipe and injected a bit more of their genes for intelligence in there, and the resulting product was Homo sapiens sapiens, modern man. And again, the archaeologists scratched their heads. They really do not have an accurate and complete explanation for how early man suddenly became modern man. And the star visitors allowed that, if you will, to go forward for about another 130 years, and then up to modern times, when they saw that civilization, these humans were putting together, was getting overloaded on the technology side and underdeveloped on the moral and spiritual side, and people were used to development to oppress each other, to conduct wars, to amass wealth and keep other people subjugated. And the finishing touch was the atomic bombings of two cities. They figured the star visitors that this experiment was needed work or it was going to be a total failure. And so they came back again and began to do another genetic upgrade and first cautiously and trying out the new recipe with some people, and then in the late 1970s and 80s doing a kind of wholesale visiting of folks and upgrading of their reproductive material. And also the other main way in which star visitors have influenced the human race is that various star visitors out there have decided to reincarnate as a human for this lifetime and do it and come to Earth as their conscious spirit and join a human body in the womb and take on a human life. And in so doing, they are humans, but they bring enough of that higher moral and spiritual consciousness and their intellectual abilities and psychic abilities with them that they tend to function at a higher level than regular humans have. And so between the genetic hybrid star kids and star seeds and the star person incarnational humans that are star kids and star seeds, we have an avalanche of incoming new types of humans that are distinguished somewhat physically, but much more by mental functioning and spiritual functioning and psychic abilities and what one might call cosmic consciousness.
You know, I find this really interesting, Dr. Boylan, particularly because, you know, as this is the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and we are very grounded in this, in the reality that our consciousness has a direct effect on the world around us, and not just individually, but also collectively. So it makes perfect sense that if there is going to be a reformation or a transformation in the world as we know it, it begins with the individual. It has to, because there's no difference between self and reality, you know, because that's anyway, I don't want to deviate too much. What proof, though? I mean, really, what proof do you have that this is, this sounds like a bunch of hocus pocus and Hollywood stuff. Well, I mean, what proof do you have that this is real?
Well, various kinds of indications exist out there. For one thing, the missing link problem, which archaeology has not solved and is not going to solve, because there is no link to be found. You can dig as far down the ground as you want. There's a basic discontinuity, and so I would argue that points to outside intervention, and I'm not the first one to point to outside intervention for the fact that all of a sudden Homo sapiens appears on the landscape with no predecessor species, or Homo sapiens, modern man, appears on the scene with no clear explanation of the upgrade. Normal evolutionary theory has said that it takes millions of years to make major changes in species, and here we have a whole human race doing an upgrade in a very finite period of time that wouldn't allow for evolutionary processes to go on long enough to make that change. And in terms of the star kids and star seeds, their abilities, let's just mention their intellectual and their psychic abilities, draw comments and notice from not only the parents, but school teachers. I've talked to school teachers who've been in the field for decades, and I asked them, are the kids of today the same as the kids, let's say, 30 years ago when you started teaching? Oh, no, they're very different. And why do you think that is? You know, 30 years isn't a very long period of time. Oh. And the differences we're talking about is these kids don't process information the way the old kids do. They tend to think with what I call matrix thinking. They tend to do multitasking in their head across disciplines, subject areas, and put together complex understandings that did come off the blackboard that the teacher hadn't told them. And they show double handfuls of psychic abilities, things like mental telepathy or influencing the environment around you by manipulation of your energy field. Two of the things that have most gotten, first of all, me to recognize star seeds before I use the energy signature, that's a more recent development of my ability to read people. But the kind of cruder things that were kind of aha, wake-up moments were the number of people, including yours truly, who, when they go under those orangish sodium vapor street lights lamps, the light goes out, meaning that their surrounding energy field is such that it swamps the plasma field inside that sodium vapor plasma street light. And it stops functioning. the thin little wire that ignites everything is still there, but the plasma, like gas field, collapses because of the competition from the passing star kid or star seed ambient energy field. So that's an indicator, you know, this isn't all in people's imagination, that this is something you can measure. The other thing, what we were talking about before we got formally dialoguing here, was these dowsing rods, and how I have used them to stand back maybe 30 feet and approach a person, and the rods will part. For a regular human, they will part and go out sideways at about a foot out from the person. That's the regular USDA human, Homo sapiens sapiens, ambient energy field, surrounding energy field. And the rods pick up on that. And even though they're made out of steel, and the person's energy field is made out of a very fine kind of energy that isn't particularly able to be picked up on an electric meter, these rods will move aside. As they're doing now, as I put your image on there, not only does the individual like you, Anthony, who is the starseed, put out a field, but your image on a video screen or a high quality photograph also has a little smidgen of your energy field, and it's enough that the rod's getting very close to it, like an inch out, and pick that up. Whereas if I were dousing you with my big dousing rods, Anthony, let's say hypothetically your field goes out to 30 feet. Now if I stepped out 50 feet and started to approach you, at 30 feet out, the rods would go sideways. Now this is steel being not bent, but moved in thin air by what? Science doesn't really talk about people's surrounding energy fields. They're barely able to acknowledge that kind of aura, that little shimmering energy field that's real close to the head and shoulders of people that psychics can see, and even Curlian photography kind of is as close as science has gotten to kind of measuring that a little bit. But we're like shells and shells of energy besides that aura that's very close to the body, inch or so on, three or four out. There's another shell that goes out in the case of star seeds. The record I think was this teenage star kid boy in Brazil, down in Sao Paulo when I was doing the star kid workshop down there. I think I measured him at like 55 feet out from me. I figured, whoa, this kid is going to be something when he grows up.
That is very interesting. Would there not be, you know, modern science is starting to really appreciate epigenetics and just how quickly our genes learn and transmute. And so would there not be, would that not account for the stark differentiation between the kids of today and the kids of the past, epigenetics?
Well, there are limits, you know. Those kind of generalized biological principles operate at different levels and different strengths and different speeds across the spectrum of life forms. You can get mutations in bacteria that happen pretty fast, and viruses, that's why viruses are smart antibiotics. But when you move up the chain to large mammals like elephants, they don't suddenly develop turquoise tusks because it's the latest fashion trend this year. You know, they've stayed the same for centuries and centuries, millennia. We go back to the mastodons and earlier pre-forms. We have to go back many tens of thousands, if not millions of years, to find even one might call modest differentiations. And humans are even a higher graded evolutionary form than elephants. And so we're not going to be able to say, oh, well, it's just a kind of epigenetic mutation in humans, like the viruses that outsmarted the last week's vaccine. We're slower moving because we're higher up the scale of organic life development. So there's no snappy answer like that to explain away these star kids.
Well, you know, I honestly am playing devil's advocate, Dr. Boylan, and it is important because for me, it's integrity is fundamental and paramount, especially when I bring this information to my audience. It's so very important, and I want to ensure my listeners that you are grounded in science and that you are grounded in what we know as the forefront or the tip of the spear in the latest and greatest in our star visitors and the organizations behind them. So it's just important for them to know that this is the real deal, Holyfield. There's one other question I have. As you were speaking earlier about the children of today that are star kids and the star seeds and how they're so much different from the past, you know, what about the cultural and societal conditioning that have resulted as a result of all these technological advances that we have, which are said to come from other sources? Can you talk about that?
Could you say a little bit more about what you mean by in your question about?
Well, my question is, it's almost as if we're in a catch-22 situation because it's been said that a lot of our advances have come from the Star Nation. At the same time, these advances in our children in the world are profound because of the exposure to the new technologies. And how can you differentiate between a child that's been exposed to all of these advances in technology and a child that is a genuine starseed?
Well, they're not either or. In fact, the star kids take these technological advances and run with them with greater facility than previous generations. Now, I think it helps our discussion if I talk a little bit about the prevalence of star kids and starseed adults in the human population. They're not some kind of rare little item that comes along, if you're lucky, one in a city. And so your question has a bit of chicken and egg aspect to it. I would argue that the reason these star kids can write programs and, like my grandson, hack into the school computers and see what their grades are before they get their report card, and, you know, run circles around the old programmers of my generation that first developed code and computers, is because of their mental nimbleness, that they are just, they come out of the womb smarter than the old Homo sapiens, regular human child of previous generations. Let's talk a little bit about the spread of star kids and star seeds in the global population. Now, among senior citizens like yours truly, 1 in 12. See, the star visitors were just being very careful and not flooding the human race and Earth with until they tried out the new recipe. And I guess we didn't do too badly with it, so they started to do it a bit more. In people in the 45 to 60 age range, 1 in 5 star seed. Younger mature adults, the 30 to 45-year-old group, 45% are star seeds. Now, young adults, the 19 to 29 crowd, two-thirds of them are star seeds. Teenagers, 13 to 18, 81% are star kids. And in the kids from infants to 12 years old, basically the preschoolers and the grade schoolers, 96% of them are star kids. So the WIS kids of today are not other than, I would say, a manifestation of their nimbleness and ability to not only master complex technology like computer games, and I'm talking about the multimodal ones that really require you to keep about five different environments in your head at the same time, but are able to understand the consciousness behind the programs, and in some cases to go in and rewrite the program because they have a bright idea about how to make it better.
Dr. Boylan, excuse me, this has huge implications for human society, knowing that 90% of our children are from literally another planet. You know, I just thought my grandkids were out of this world, you know?
Not from another planet, but partially. Hopefully Earth, enough of another planet that we don't walk around dragging our knuckles on the ground.
You know, it's really no worries because, you know, from a universal perspective, we are all aliens. You know, from the alien perspective, we're aliens. And anyway, it doesn't matter. You know, your website mentions, and this is really, really one of the main reasons why you're on 6 Degrees today, Dr. Boylan. There's information that has to be heard by the world in the 122 countries and growing that this program reaches. Your website mentions that December 31st, 2010, at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the official deadline for the U.S. government to make a formal, official public acknowledgement that star visitor contact and communication has occurred. What will the government say? And what will happen if the government doesn't meet that deadline? We have 10 minutes.
Well, I'll try to keep my answer within 10 minutes. You picked one of the hot breaking news items, indeed, in what's on my website, I'll tell you that. I work with a close inner team that is made up of a woman who's a star person, Estacan, praying mantis race, if you will, incarnated as a human, but bringing along her higher consciousness and ability to do various things, including a remote view into the future. And I have another associate or two that come in and out as they have time to assist with a similar enriched backgrounds. And so we know from remote viewing and, you know, as we're being a fly on the wall inside the White House and knowing things, that in last January, President Obama issued a secret executive order saying to his staff, principally in the National Security Council, that we need to get ready to make the beginning of a series of announcements of acknowledging UFO reality and that the government has had contact from the star visitors, and told them wanted to start the first of these announcements before the year was over, meaning New Year's Eve, before we get out of 2010. He did this at the prompting of star visitors, star nations, who have told the U.S. that they're sick and tired of the U.S. dragging its feet and coming clean with its people about UFO reality and the fact that star visitors have been in contact with U.S. government officials since the 1940s. And, you know, enough already. Stop the foot dragging. And the Star Nations gave a deadline of the end of this year as much as they would give the U.S. to start telling the truth on this subject. And the or else is that they would start doing such massive sky displays of their presence in 2011 and not so far into 2011 that the government would be forced to admit it, whether it felt like it or not. But of course, Star Nations would prefer that the government take the reins and develop these messages in an orderly fashion and not be buffaloed into it by displays in the sky. That is not the best way. The best way is for the government to develop these messages in a carefully paced way, allowing the public to assimilate one message before they lay the next bit of news on them. And so, when New Year's Eve ball drops in Times Square, if the U.S. government has not made at least the first of its official acknowledgments of UFO reality, then we can expect that before too much of 2011 goes by, that Star Nations will put on such dramatic displays that denial will no longer be a viable option for the government. Including such things as my friend and close associate friends had seen parking a mothership over a population center in the United States, sort of like saying, "Yes, Mr. President, now what are you going to tell people about that one?"
Well, you know, that's I think they already made a Hollywood movie about that called District 9, and you know, that's a whole nother program about the how Hollywood has conditioned the collective consciousness to be receptive to the inevitable reality of what we're talking about on this program today. Dr. Boylan, how can people get to your website? And if you think, what is your website again?
www.drboylan.com.
And now, do you have any of your books that touch on what we've talked about tonight? And how can the listeners get a hold of them?
The books that are out, I'm writing number 5, but the 4 that are out, one's out of print. Actually, several are. They sold out, and publisher is not cranking out any more copies. You can see on the website Close Extraterrestrial Encounters with my first book. You can get it used at a used bookstore or on Amazon. Snap it up. They're rare. Labor Journey to the Stars, also no more available. Sometimes you can get a used one on Amazon. Star Kids, The Emerging Cosmic Generation. This is a book everybody should read because you're either a star kid or a starseed adult, or you live down the street from one, and the world is moving to a cosmic generation as these young people grow up and form the vast, vast, huge majority of the human race as they come of age. And that one is for free, and it's online. You can get it by going to www.drboylan.com/starkidspdf.pdf. Peter Donald Frank, starkidspdf.pdf. That's the rest of the address after the slash point. And there you will find an entire book that will teach you everything you need to know about star kids and starseed adults. Believe me, it is comprehensive. The last book is Project Epiphany, That one is still available. It's on Amazon. We're quite happy to ship you a copy. It's very nominally priced. So those are the four that are out there. And when I get done with number five, it'll be in the hopper, but that's still off of the ways.
Again, Dr. Boylan, it has been a simple pleasure and honor to converse with you about this subject, a very, very important and pertinent subject. And, you know, this show is supposed to be timeless. However, you know, the serendipity and the synchronicity and the coincidences that manifest for us to really have this dialogue cannot be denied. And tomorrow is the winter solstice, and the first time that a lunar eclipse has aligned with the winter solstice in 500 years.
Yeah, the energy will be strong. It's tomorrow in your time in Florida, Central Time. It's actually 11:38 Pacific Time tonight. We're on today's side of the midnight timeline when that happens, and the eclipse is 11:41, 3 minutes later, according to what I read. So we have within 3 minutes a lunar winter solstice and a lunar eclipse. Now, I'm not an astrologer, but I think that probably represents a whole heck of a lot of energy coming together in one package. And I would interpret that, and I plan to do a ceremony. I follow the Native American Red Path. I'm going to do a pipe ceremony tonight. Will be for the moving aside of darkness, particularly as it envelops elements within our government, that we may have a shining forth in the new year. And the new year, astronomically, sidereally, starts tonight or wee hours of tomorrow morning at solstice.
Do you have, if you would, please, parting words of wisdom?
Can't guarantee the wisdom, but a few parting words. This is the cosmic generation. The kids coming up around us now, learn to know them if you're not one of them. They will amaze you. They have to kind of keep most of the time in deep cover because they aren't allowed by our current society to be all they can be. They are told by the teachers and the textbooks and the messages on television what's normal, and these kids don't fit normal because they're not the old normal. They're creating the new normal. And when they get done coming of age and refashioning our society, it will truly be a cosmic society that will, in a almost matter-of-fact way, have the experience of interacting with star visitors, seeing them on television, seeing them interviewed by important officials in our society, and many of these kids can talk about them as their friends who visit them frequently. We have a mind-blowing transformation going on in our society. All I say is stay alert and open your mind for new things.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Boylan, for being a guest tonight on 6 Degrees.
My pleasure, Anthony. I wish you well and sweet journeys.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show of 6 Degrees.